Welcome to the Glencliff United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, where we come together as a community to explore and deepen our faith. Our congregation is part of the Glencliff Commons, a ministry community in Nashville, Tennessee. We strive to create a space that is inclusive, compassionate, justice-seeking, and rooted in the love of Christ. We believe that faith is a journey, and we're honored to walk alongside each other, offering support and encouragement along the way. Our sermons are crafted with the intention of inspiring, challenging, and illuminating the timeless wisdom found in the sacred texts. In this sermon from March 15th, 2026, Reverend Ingrid McIntyre focused on the biblical account of Jesus before Pilate and introduced themes of truth, power, and integrity. It challenges us to reflect on our own stance in the face of injustice and the importance of living in truth, especially during Lent.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through 40. We're reading from the New Revised Standard Version of David edition. And this is when Jesus came before Pilate. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me like that?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. The reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" reported Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. This is the word of God for the people of God. Drag through the dirt, through the dark, pass from hand to hand like someone or something to be managed. He has already been to Annas, already Caiaphas, already through the machinery of religious power, trying to make its verdict look like justice. It is happening today, and I see it every day. But now he stands before Pilate, the big one, right? The Roman governor, the man with the actual power, the power of empire, the power of the sword, the power to release or to hand over. And in the middle of their exchange, Pilate asks a simple question. a question that echoes across 2,000 years straight into this room. What is truth? And Pilate doesn't wait for the answer. He walks on. He walks back out before Jesus can speak, which kind of tells us everything. He didn't really want to know. Notice the architecture of the scene. The religious authorities refuse to enter what is called the Praetorium or Pilate's headquarters, because doing that would make them ritualistically unclean and they couldn't participate in the Passover. So Pilate has to keep going out to them from his house into the worship space, back and forth across a threshold. And the irony is staggering and is meant to be. They are scrupulous about religious purity while arranging the execution of an innocent man. Shall I read that again? If you get it, let that part sink in. They are scrupulous about their religious purity. Sounds familiar. While arranging the execution of an innocent man, or the deportation of an innocent man, or the execution of an innocent man, you get the picture. They are fastidious about the letter of the law while violating its very heart.
Amen.
They will not step foot inside a Gentile's home or building, but they will hand over the Son of God to be crucified as long as their hands stay clean, right? And Pilate, who we often say is the villain, is not a villain in the cartoonish sense. He's something more familiar and dangerous. He is a pragmatist, right? He is a man of the institution. We respect him. He knows that Jesus is innocent. He says so more than once. He tries several times to find a way out, an angle, a technicality. The Passover custom of releasing a prisoner, maybe. That's the exodus. But the crowd won't have it. The crowd wants Barnabas. They want blood. So Pilate keeps pacing back and forth, into Jesus, out to the crowd, into the leaders, out to the crowd, like a man searching his own house for a way to avoid what he knows he must do. You do that ever?
I do it with my laundry.
This might be a little more serious than that. And Jesus is clear. Jesus is very clear. He says, my kingdom is not from this world. For this I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. He is not trying to survive by being slippery. He is not performing innocence to an audience. He's not negotiating. He is just true. Utterly, immovably, and at a very great cost, he is true. Lent is the season where we are invited to look honestly in the mirror. And this text holds up a very specific mirror for us. The question is not just who the characters are. The question is, which character are we? Which character are we? Right now in this country, we are watching people in power shuffle back and forth, just like Pilate, knowing what's right saying the right things, maybe in private, but calculating, always calculating what they can get away with, what they can afford to do publicly. What will the base tolerate? What will the donors allow? What are the polls going to say this week? We are watching institutions, some of them even religious institutions, maintain their sense of purity and propriety while going along with harm. Careful not to be too political, they say. Careful not to alienate anyone, they say. Worried about their seat at the table while the most vulnerable among us are being handed over and handed over and handed over. Immigrant families separated and detained, safety nets methodically shredded, people told, shredded, get it? You know, like this is, they're asking for identity to be able to get services. This is part of the shred,
right?
People told their lives, their bodies, their very existence is a threat to order, and they must be managed. Children in poverty used as leverage, and over all of it, the same question weaponized now as it was then. What is truth? Whose truth counts? Who gets to decide what's real and who controls the story? Pilate's question, what is truth? Is not a philosophical inquiry. It never was. It's a dodge, right? It's a dodge. It is what power says when it wants to avoid accountability. And we see a lot of accountability avoidance happening right now. It's the sound of a conscience, a sound a conscience makes when it has already decided not to act. It just needs a little cover, right? What is truth? We know that sound. We've made it ourselves. Maybe last week, maybe this morning. This is why that matters. Not as a season of private spiritual improvement, right? Not as a time to give up chocolate or alcohol or something small and feel like we've done our part. Lent is a season of reckoning, of returning, of being honest about who we have been so that we can choose again who we are going to be. The question Lent asks is not Pilate's question, it's Jesus's. Jesus, who testifies to the truth even when it costs him everything, turns and asks us, do you belong to the truth? Do you belong to the truth? Do we belong to the truth? Are you listening for my voice? Not do you have the right theology?
Nope.
Not do you have the right politics or the left?
Nope.
Do you belong to the truth? Is your life oriented towards the truth? Are you moving towards the truth even when it's costly? Belonging to the truth is not a feeling. It's not a conviction you hold privately in your heart to yourself. It is a practice. It is a daily, embodied, sometimes very inconvenient practice. It means we stop pacing back and forth between what we know is right and what is safe. It means we step across the threshold even if it makes it look like we've picked a side, even if it costs us something, even if it makes us technically unclean in the eyes of those who are managing the situation. Think about what the religious authorities are protecting themselves from. Defilement before the Passover, the feast that remembers liberation, right?
Yeah.
The feast that remembers the God who looked at a people ground down by empire and says, enough, enough. The feast that remembers the water parting for those who were trapped and had nowhere else to go. Where would they have gone? God parted those waters. The feast that remembers the bread in the wilderness when they were starving, what would they eat? The bread God provided. The feast that remembers that the arc of history bends not automatically, not inevitably, but when people bend it. When we bend it. They were protecting their ritual cleanliness before the feast of liberation. And in doing so, they missed the whole point of the feast. We must not miss it. We must not miss it. So here is what I suggest to us to carry out of this space today. First, name what you know. Not what you can prove to someone who doesn't want to hear it. Not what you can defend in a comment section. What you know in your body, in your gut, in your faith. The truth you have been sitting with, turning over, maybe avoiding. Name it out loud. Maybe first to yourself and then to someone you trust. Truth telling begins small and then begins in private, but it has to begin. Second, stop waiting for Pilate to do the right thing. He ain't gonna do it. He won't. He never does. The crowd will always be louder, and he will always care more about the crowd than his conscience. That is who he is. Our call is not to manage him into goodness. Oh, this is so good, doll. Our call is not to manage him into goodness or to shame him into courage. Our call is to show up at the state house, in the streets, in the committee rooms, at every table where decisions are being made about people who don't have their own seat. And to be the voice that will not go quiet. The presence who will not go away. Third, let your faith cost you something. The religious authorities in this text kept their purity intact. They did not risk defilement. Their reputations survived that week. And they handed over the Son of God. When our faith never costs us anything, our comfort, our reputation, our time, our money, our carefully maintained neutrality, it is not the gospel that we are protecting. It is something else. Lent is 40 days in the wilderness, not 40 days of self-improvement. Not 40 days of minor inconvenience, 40 days of being stripped of our illusions, our excuses, our carefully constructed distance from what is actually happening in our world so that we can see clearly. See clearly. So that we can hear the voice of the one who says, I came to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate walked away from that voice. He still does. We do not have to. Listen and then go. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for this thought-provoking and uplifting sermon from Glencliff United Methodist Church. We hope that the message has resonated with you, inspiring you to live out your faith in meaningful ways. May we be agents of healing, justice, and reconciliation, guided by the teachings of Jesus. We invite you to connect with us further and explore the many opportunities for growth, fellowship, and service that our church offers. If you found today's sermon meaningful, share it with a friend or loved one who may benefit from these words of encouragement. If you'd like to support Glencliff United Methodist Church financially, visit glencliffumc.org/donate. Until we meet again, remember that you are cherished and your presence in this world matters. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about that. You can simply choose how you'll respond to that love. Amen.